Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today I'm speaking to Mark Anthony Ignatius, who is a Catholic creative. He grew up in Manila and moved to London as a teenager. In this conversation, he speaks about his experience of becoming a youth missionary who travelled the world and now works in marketing, and how God has commissioned him throughout his life. So, Mark Anthony, what was it like growing up in Manila?
Growing up in Manila in the Philippines is very different. It's very manic. As well, lifestyle is so different, particularly for me. Like, I don't come from a very affluent family, but in the Philippines, it's kind of like labor is cheap, and I was so used to being pampered up. We would have helpers in the house, driver. We would have really good access to things. It was very different. And in terms of being in Manila, it's kind of easier to be Catholic. In terms of being in the Philippines, it's like 80% belongs to the Christian denomination, and probably around 70% of it, the Roman Catholic faith. So in terms of things, in terms of culture, church has always been embedded in society. And particularly for me as a child, our family would always go to church, and kind of like my early memory would be going to church every Sunday and then looking forward to family meals afterwards. We would go to the mall and we would have a meal, and I would always look forward to, you know, like sometimes going into church and looking forward for the Sundays would be like not necessarily going into mass, but actually like, oh, we're going to have a meal out with the family. So it was very nice.
And so how did that experience define who you were at that time?
That experience definitely made me who I am, like in terms of what I know of myself, of me being naturally who I am, which is Mark Anthony. But I think it laid out great foundations for myself as a human being, as not just as a human being, actually, as a Catholic. Because as a child, even going into school or within our families, I was so kind of used to that rhythm of prayer, being able to have that rhythm of creativity, that rhythm of even though in the midst of being busy, not just as a person, but also in the city like Manila, it made me more resilient and more curious about everything that goes around me. But it also allowed me to really nurture like my gifts as a child, and to actually build that curiosity to move over, really.
So then you moved to London in your teenage years. What was that like?
Gosh, it was so different. I moved in when it was autumn. I was so used to kind of like 35 degrees weather. And then I came here when it was like 15, 16 degrees Celsius. It was nice. It was very, very different because I wasn't used to four seasons. Not just four seasons within the year, but four seasons in one day. Particularly being in London, you know, sometimes we don't know if we're going to carry an umbrella or we're not, but actually we are going to have it on our bags because, you know, the weather can sometimes change. But I was so used to kind of like having that two weather. It's either it's very hot or it's the monsoon season. But when I moved into London, it was very different because I remember when I would go to school, and then after school, I would go to museums because they're for free and they're so easily reachable. And after class, particularly when I was like finishing my GCSEs or doing my GCSEs, I would go to mass every single day, and it's easily reachable.
talking of you doing your GCSEs, you must have come just as you had to start doing them.
Yeah, so I was Salesian educated when I moved here with the Salesians of Don Bosco. And it laid out really great foundations for me in terms of, we all know, or if you don't know, but St. John Bosco is the patron saint of the youth. So the school that I belong to had a lot of activities and also formulations for myself. I remember kind of like commuting every single day. So coming from West London all the way down to Battersea in Southwest London, that kind of journey to go to school, it's like going into the bus and everything and seeing how busy it could be in rush hour. But I always look forward to kind of like going into school because I had really, really good foundations around it. I had so much of a great time at school that I even became head boy. I loved it so much, really.
That's good. My next question was, what was it like going to a Salesian school?
Being in Salesian school, actually, it was really fun. I had a great time. Particularly, I think one of my highlights is going into pilgrimages and going to places, holy places. So we would normally have, within like the summer term, we would go to the Aylesford Priory with the Carmelites, and I've always kind of like looked forward into it. But particularly when I was in year 10 and year 11, I became very involved in leadership formations. So all the kind of Salesian schools in the country would normally gather up in Savio House in Bollington in Cheshire. And I really loved that. And I was able to kind of like meet a lot of Salesian students from all around the country.
So I was just thinking then about how you talked about going to a Salesian school and talked about the influence of the Carmelites when you went to Aylesford. And obviously you've got now the influence of the Jesuits and the Ignatian spirituality. So you've had a lot of like influence of different spiritualities for you. So, and you talked about when in your childhood, your faith being very like naturally there because that's what your family did, that's what you did at church. But when did your faith become something more personal to you?
So I've spoken about all these foundations, right, and all these things that I've kind of experienced, but I forgot to talk about like when I moved here in the UK, the very first point of place that I went into and our family went into is a church, which is the Westminster Cathedral. And I was serving at Westminster Cathedral all the way down to when I was 19. So for me, faith became very much a personal thing when I started altar serving. I was an altar server back home in Manila. We had formations there, but I think when I altar served from Westminster Cathedral, in Westminster Cathedral, that I really, really had this big breakthrough in my life that, wow, like every Sunday I would normally kind of like, not just when I was young, I was like looking forward to the meals. I was really very much looking forward to kind of like ironing my shirt and making sure that my shoes are properly polished. That when I get in then and I get my alb and then when I get dressed into my altar server swag or OTD, that I gave God the best of me in the best possible way in my all in being able to serve God. It was very much like a personal thing because I remember I started going in and making my faith very personal to me when Pope Benedict the 16th went to the UK. And I remember that being such a great experience because if I'm not mistaken, he is the very first Pope that I've been able to experience in the flesh. When I became an altar server, it just changed. And that was a time where Cardinal Vincent Nichols became the Archbishop of Westminster. And I was the very first cohort, like the very first batch of people that was confirmed by Cardinal Vincent. So I have that kind of like history. But that really became personal because from my altar server days, and then I got confirmed at the cathedral, it was really, really personal because I really had that strong sense of rhythm in my faith and in my prayers, you know, from moving, from growing up as a child, moving here, and having that rhythm of going into church and like altar serving, having the Salesian foundations. God was really intentional in having this personal relationship with me and me desiring that personal relationship with him through the things that I kind of belong to or the things that I've kind of looked forward to joining, really.
So going back to what you said about Pope Benedict, where did you see him?
I saw him in 2010.
2010.
Yeah, it was 2010. Okay. It was 2010 when Pope Benedict came. I had this really, really profound experience of him when he was doing his papal audience in Hyde Park. I remember we had a big kind of like tent and like chairs with some of my teachers in school, in the Salesian school here in Battersea. And I remember this kind of like feeling of like when Pope Benedict came in. I don't know if for anyone who's ever seen a pope, but just that feeling of like God being with him, it was absolutely incredible. Like, just thinking about it now, like I'm even having goosebumps around it because you see how much the leader of the Catholic Church actually not just emulate, but the way he's dressed and the way he blesses people, it magnifies so much of God's love, really.
I remember, because I also saw him at Hyde Park, the like cheering that happened for him as he was coming on stage. But then as the like exposition started, just the silence and the prayer, they're like hushed on like 80,000 people all at once. And I've never experienced that in the same way again.
So beautiful. Definitely so beautiful.
So seeing Pope Benedict in Hyde Park had a really big impact on me. And like a week later, I went off to university and started as a fresher. And that experience I had kind of impacted my whole university, my time at university. What impact did it have on you, or what did you end up doing next?
So I was like nearly finished with secondary school, and then I moved into my A-levels, and I moved from Battersea in Southwest London and moved into Camden for sick form. And then there it was quite different because I came from an all-boys school, and then now it's kind of like mixed gender, and then my kind of base school had a lot of girls in it because it was a girls school. I guess for me, after that whole meeting with the Pope, it sparked a little bit more curiosity and creativity in me that I went into art school. Went to art school at the University of Arts London. And then during that time for me, like I was kind of thinking, oh, shall I stay in London or shall I not? And then lo and behold, God has planted me to be in the city of Lincoln.
And why do you feel that God was planting you to be in the city of Lincoln?
Do you know what? Lincoln is quite an interesting place. It's in the East Midlands, and it's considered a city because it has the great cathedral, but it's like it's so small. It's a town. It was very much a culture shock for me. It felt like when I moved from Manila to London, I've always been planted by God in cosmopolitan cities, and then lo and behold, for university, I went into probably one of the smallest cities in the UK, which is Lincoln, which no one has ever heard about, probably. But fun fact, the Magna Carta is there. And it houses one of the great cathedrals ever made in the country. But for me, I felt like Lincoln was such a strong blessing for me. So I started my degree there in journalism and then quickly shifted into creative advertising. For me, like it, I formed really good relationships and really good friends in Lincoln. For me, I've learned so much about community and what it means to actually really become a formed person. Because when you're a teenager, right, you're trying to explore different things in terms of your interests and stuff. And then when you're in university, it's kind of like the time, particularly for me, when I moved out of London, it was a time for me to really be independent for myself, to cook meals, to do groceries, to actually go into my lectures, to, you know, to become a young person fully living independently. There are times as well where kind of like my faith is challenged or shaken in the sense that I wasn't doing well in university, or sometimes I forget to go to mass, or maybe tempted to do things that are not Christian-like. But in Lincoln, I felt like God called me there and planted me there. The seed that came out of it was so fruitful. And then also the things that I worked around and did around when I was in Lincoln was simply monumental in terms of my identity.
So how did you go from studying creative advertising into youth ministry?
So at the age of 18, when I was still in London, I did this youth camp with a charismatic community. It's called Cops for Christ, Youth for Christ. It's a movement that started in the Philippines. Majority of his members are Filipinos, but then we, all the missions and everything, we are all around the world, including Africa. A friend of mine, like an old friend of mine, we were in a bubble tea shop when bubble tea wasn't as popular. There was this bubble tea shop in Notting Hill, and I used to go there all the time. And then this sister was like, oh, why don't you join our youth camp? And I was like, okay. And then in there, like, I experienced God in the most profound way and in the most tangible way. And then I was only in London doing Youth for Christ, or YFC as what we call it, for a year. And then I moved into Lincoln. And then I remember being in Lincoln. It was kind of like, gosh, there's no community here. There wasn't any Filipinos in it. Not that that mattered. Like, the number of people of color, it's not as diverse as in London. So for me, it was a big culture shock. Being in there, shops closes at 4, 5 p.m. I was like, how am I going to live in this place? But then I remembered, so when I moved into Lincoln at the age of 19, I would go to my friends in another chapter. So I would go to Newcastle. I would hop into different ministry gatherings and different prayer meetings. And I would be in Lincoln from Monday to Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, I would be somewhere else. And so I contacted some of my friends, and I was really involved in Youth for Christ in Bradford and Leeds. And in there, I did not just found God and experience God, but I've made lifelong friends.
So then what made you say yes to becoming a youth missionary?
It was really funny, because every single year I would do this youth conference that happens in the Philippines. It's called the International Conference. I remember I went there for 2016, 2017 and 2018. Funny enough, these are my first year of creative advertising, second year of creative advertising and third year of creative advertising. Every single year, whenever I go back home to the Philippines, the calling to become a missionary has always been louder and louder and louder. I would do my university things in Monday to Friday. I would normally finish in the afternoon. I would travel to Leeds, lead a prayer meeting. Saturday, we would go and do our assembly. And then Sunday, I would normally spend time with a family and other young people. And I would have one-on-ones with them and sharing things. I guess for me, my conviction and God calling me to become a missionary really was in the most tangible way of simply breaking bread together. You know, when Jesus was in the Last Supper, or when he commissioned his disciples, right, to do things for him or to do things with him, it was always about the relationability of things. It was always about relating to people. So for me, my calling really was planted through people I've interacted. When I was going to these international conferences, there was this particular conference in 2017. The theme of that conference was Solid Ground. It drew on to kind of like our solid ground being our faith, our family and community. And the people that I've met there, who I'm still friends with, shout out to all my friends who are in Australia and the UAE. Whenever we just sit down, we don't normally see each other for long. We would normally just spend a week in the Philippines and we'd go back. For me, it really sparked curiosity and sparked so much of God's goodness through those conversations. And in there and through those conversations, it really kind of put a stamp and affirmed me that God has been calling me to become a missionary for CFC Youth for Christ.
It's interesting what you just said, because for me, I have a lot of conversations with people about what is a missionary in terms of, very traditionally, we saw it as a role of somebody who went overseas and specifically went and talked about who Jesus is in places that have never heard of Jesus before. But actually in this day and age, we're now all called to be missionaries in some way, because so many people in our own country haven't heard the message of Jesus.
My experience of being a missionary has been so colourful. Anything and everything around it have always kind of centralised on not just travelling. I was, as a missionary for CFC Youth for Christ, I was kind of like based and stationed in Central Europe. So that's Switzerland and Austria. But I also had, I went on mission trips to go to the Holy Land and in Italy, in majority of the provinces in Italy. But in there, I did not speak any of the local languages, but it's not about the comprehension, I think. It was about the heart of communicating to people that this is the message, that you are loved by God and that we are all loved by God, that Jesus Christ is King, and the fact that our Catholic faith is something that is attainable. Yeah.
That sounds like a really profound experience. How do you go from an experience like that and transition out of that missionary work back into a career in marketing and production?
There wasn't much transition. Actually, if there's anything, God is calling us to mission every single day of our lives. Every single fiber of our being and every single depth of us is called to mission. It's either... It's called to work, you know. God isn't just in like youth missionary work. God calls us to be, you know, either you're being called to good nurses or to become a good doctor or to become a chef. All of these things, God speaks even in the things that we find that are unspeakable. I think I transitioned really well, in the sense that the things and the skills that I've learned from being a youth missionary was so useful to be out there in the corporate world. Things like patience, things like being able to be creative. And particularly for me, one thing that is important, most importantly, dealing with people, relationships. Being a missionary, you're able to actually talk to a lot of people, from youth to children to young adults to working adults. It made me really, really blessed to transition into my career, knowing that I could be able to speak to any person of faith or no faith and share my faith, really, or just do the work that I do.
So did you ever struggle with the idea that mission had to look a certain way?
Of course, like, definitely. Like, I think when I first became a missionary, I thought, oh, I have to be perfect. I have to do this and that. Missionaries, wherever we are called to, we are actually called to struggle. But I believe that God shares that struggle with us. Either you're a missionary or not, we struggle every day. And the best thing that I've kind of learned from that is, it's okay to struggle, but it's also okay to run back to God, even if you can't do things, because who is actually perfect? There's no one that is perfect. There's so many things, particularly for me, like I'm a perfectionist. I'm a type A. I like things to be done a certain way. But if God wants you and purifies you and actually asks you, but yes, that's how you want it, but how about my way? That's pruning. God prunes you to become a better fruit.
So what would you say to someone who feels called to mission but not necessarily knowing where to start?
Take a breather. When you're being called by God to mission, it's kind of like we're so focused to kind of like, yes, God, I'm going to give my all to you. Actually have a breather and actually begin with, God, purify me. And begin with your gifts. What gifts do I have that I could be able to share to people? What gifts do I have that needs growing so that God could grow me more as a person? Mission, we're all being called to mission. May it be in the church or outside the church. Everything that we have is a mission. We're all being commissioned by God to do something for the betterment of this world and for the benefit of every single nation and every single person we get to meet, really.
So you just talked about being commissioned by God. What does that mean to you right now?
For me right now is to live God's truth authentically. At this rate and the world that we live in right now, it's kind of like, oh, speak your truth and everything. Speaking truth is, yeah, okay, it could be one thing, but to live the truth that God wants you to live authentically, particularly for me in the stage of my life right now where a lot of the people around me, a lot of the people that I've kind of served in mission, now they're doing the mission. And a lot of people that are in the stage of life that I'm at right now, they're being called to become parents and to marry someone. And it's such a beautiful thing. But for me, to be commissioned is to essentially really answer to God by living it truthfully and authentically.
So for you, does that mean you're discerning religious life, or is it thinking about how God wants you to live out your life as a layperson?
That's a very interesting question, because it's kind of like, so I came into this kind of plethora of different experiences from being in university, being a missionary for the youth, and then now living and working in the creative world. I guess for me, it's discernment is every day. A lot of my friends are like, ooh, what's next? It's kind of like we look forward so much on what's next. But for me is, it's okay to not know where God wants me to be, because God is not just in the highlight reel on my Instagram. God is also in the mundane things of my life. What I just know for a fact is that God is calling me to a mission that he wants me to do, whether it is to be a layperson, to marry someone, or to become a priest, who knows? But I know wherever God wants me to be, there he is, and he will love me more because of what he wants it for me. When we are at this stage of life where we've done a lot of things and stuff and where we're restless, I think essentially our vocations and what we are being called for mission is where we can love God and where God can love us even further.
So what do you wish you'd known about mission and discerning with God?
Come with a lot of curiosity. Because sometimes we have a predetermined thing with God. Oh God, I already know what I'm going to do, like this, blah, blah. It's not so much about what we are going to do, but rather have the curiosity of like, okay, God, what do you actually want me to do? Rather than what I'm going to do, God. And for me, I wish I took a chill pill a little bit more. Sometimes I was a little bit too intense, but it's just to live life where I could take a breather and to really live my calling one step at a time rather than running 10 times more than what I should run towards.
And what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for everything. I'm grateful for the gift of life, for the things that God has given to me. But also I'm grateful for what God has in store for me already, because I know whatever God has in store for me, He could love me further in that space and in that moment.
Thank you for joining us.
God be praised.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this conversation is going to stay with me because it reminded me how we're all called to be missionaries in our day-to-day lives. How about you? We'd love to hear how Mark Antony's story resonated with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this and other themes at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.